when we really decide to live unto God, then you know we're because we know what God's done for us. And I'd like you to go take your Bibles, and I was reading through this today and it really blessed me a lot. And I want you to go to Psalms 107. And you know, Psalms is just a great book. We can learn a lot, see people's hearts, see the relationship with God. And in Psalms 107, we'll read this. We'll just go through it now. And it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." See, God is so good. When we remember that God has taken us, he's filled us with his Spirit, he provides for us, he looks after us, he heals us. You know, we got so much to be thankful for, because God is good always. God is a good God. And he's not a bad God. He's not out to get us. But he wants to provide for us. He wants to lead us and guide us. And it says, "For his mercy, the mercy of God, for he withholds the deserved wrath that we should have, endureth forever." I mean, what a statement. And it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are the redeemed of the Lord, so we need to say so. We can share our testimony with people. We can tell them that God is good and what God has done for us. We can declare God's word to other people and letting our lives be that example, living in the goodness of God and being led by him. In 1st Peter it says, "And he gathered them," referring to Israel, going back to Israel, and they were in the wilderness, and he says, "And he gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them." You know, when we start looking to our own way, we become hungry. We become thirsty for spiritual truth, for direction, for focus, for answers, for deliverance. And then we begin to faint. When we do things in our own ability, in our own strength, if we made something an idol, if we make fellowship an idol, if we make someone who we're following an idol, we can make anything an idol. Anything, an idol is anything before God. God says, Jesus Christ said, "If we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every need like that we have will be added to us." God wants to be first. He wants to be priority in our life. Verse 6, it says, "Because they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." God is a God of deliverance. And when we turn 100% and keep our eyes on him, he will deliver us out of any distresses, anything that we're going through. Even if we purposely went away and we realised, oh, we've made a mistake. Just like the prodigal son or the forgiven father story. You know, and in that story is a wonderful story, because not did only the father forgive the son that went astray, but he also forgave the other son who complained that, you know, "I've been serving you all these years." Because God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to go to him. And when we go to him and when we turn to him, he will lead us the right way, like it says in verse 7. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of inhabitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his" what? "Goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he satisfied the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Some as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being abound in affliction and iron." We were there one time. Yeah. We were in darkness at one time. But when we believed the word of truth, because someone declared it to us, someone made known God, someone lifted up Jesus Christ to us and showed us an excellent way, then we came out of darkness into light. And God has given us his word so that we can proclaim. We got a ministry of reconciliation, and God wants us to declare what he's made available to us in Christ, that we can have a relationship with him, that we can come out of bondage, we can come out of sickness, we can come out of poverty, and we can have a great life with God, that he is going to supply our needs. And see, people were sat in darkness and the shadow of death, and it says in 1 Timothy, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. And what happened? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. That's the power of our God. When we turn to him, he will break any powers of darkness in your life. In fact, when we become born again, Satan lost all his authority over you. Okay, yay. But then what he does try to do is trick you. The enemy tries to trick you and make you think that you are still under his authority. Mm-hmm. And the doors are open. The cage has been unlocked. The prison cell is unlocked. All we got to do is walk through them because we've been delivered. It says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness again and for his wonderful works to the children of man. And I love this next one. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. God delivered these guys, and he's delivered us too. And we have the words of life. We have the word of God. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we fully turn to God and forsake our own ways, God brings that deliverance, like he provides for us. When we decide to put God first, there's nothing that he's going to withhold from us. When we decide to walk uprightly, he's going to provide everything that you need. But he wants to be first, guys. And we just need to make a decision that no matter what's going on in our lives or in situations, God is going to be first. We're going to take everything to him. We're going to listen to his still small voice. We're going to do what he puts in our hearts to do. We can be encouraged by others, and that is a wonderful thing about the body of Christ, but we have to do what God puts in our individual hearts to do. And when we listen to him and we do those things, those little things that he shows us, then great things happen. And you know, and the other great thing is, guys, God wants us to declare his word to bring deliverance to others. You know, there's so many people out there now sat in darkness. When I mentioned about this Tyson Fury, he started bringing hope to people. People that had mental problems and suffered mental health issues, he was bringing them hope. He was showing them by his example how you can come from a place of destitution and desperation and fight back. And he turned his heart to God, and it was God that got him to where he was. And he gave the glory to God, actually. It was just an amazing example, and it really blessed me. See, where there is light, darkness cannot dwell. We have to remember this, and we are lights. We're the lights of this world. And it's the spoken word from our lips that brings, that dispels the darkness. And God's word sets things in order. See, God's word heals. His word restores. His word reconciles. His word gives direction. His word moves heavy burdens. It breaks them. It gives faith. It sets the captives free. His word sets the things in order. And when God's word is released from our hearts because it's filled with his word and with faith and through lips of believing, it goes to work swiftly. When he said, let there be light, what happened? Light was. We need to declare God. We need to say we're delivered. We need to say we're blessed. We got direction. We got provision. We need to say what God says. We need to come into agreement with him. See, once we receive the truth, and when our hearts are filled with truth, and we're walking in truth, we'll be prospering spiritually, mentally, and physically. We will have a clear direction and focus, and we won't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Our understanding will be enlightened with truth of who we are, and what we have right now in Christ. We'll be speaking the truth in love, and we'll be growing up into Christ and walking as sons of God with authority and love. See, we're not downtrodden. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So have you been seeing yourself in your challenges, in your situations? When we look to the world, we become discouraged. When we look at what's happening in the world isn't in a good place right now, but we're the lights in this world, and we're the ones that can make the difference. We've really got to see who we are, and we've really got to believe who we are in Christ, that we do have a power, we do have authority, that Satan is a defeated foe. And when we're walking with our eyes on God, knowing who we are in Christ, and we start to become bold and get rid of the fear, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, then we start to see people that are hungry and thirsting. God will put those people in front of us. But we got to be ready. We got to be committed. We got to be salted. If you go to 3 John 2, we're going to read verses 2 and 3. God, by way of John, was saying it, "Beloved, I wish above all things." This is the heart of God. "That thou mayest prosper." Okay, prosper spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your workplaces. Whatever you're doing, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. And he wants you to be in health. He sent his word and healed them. We see that in the Old Testament records. We are healed. Jesus Christ has accomplished that. He was the living word. And we are healed. We are delivered. We got to stop putting up with the things that the enemy tries to put on us and tries to deceive us. So, and it's even as thy soul prospering. Depend upon our relationship with God. Depend upon our understanding of who we are and what we have. When we start to really believe who we are, then we'll start walking and acting according. We won't put up with the rubbish. We won't put up with the attacks. And now is the day not to put up with this stuff. Now is the time to stand up and be counted, because we are counted. God sees you as his son. Jesus Christ, he stood up and he said what the Father wanted him to say. God gave him words to speak, and he will also give us his word to speak in lifetime situations where there's needs. I was talking to my daughter-in-law Amber, and she reminded me of the record. God really does give us what to say in certain situations. And it's like when the woman that was caught in adultery, you know, these Pharisees come to her and said, "Look, the law of Moses says that this woman should be stoned for what she'd done." But what did Jesus do? He didn't say, "Yeah, you're right, because it's written down there in the scriptures there." He went to God. And what did God send to say? "No, he that is without sin or without this sin, cast the first stone." So he went to God. God wants you to go to him for your answers, for your directions. He wants you to trust in him completely. He won't let you down. He will come through for you. Sometimes it's right at the very end that he comes through, and because he wants you to have full confidence in him. He will not let you down. We don't have to chicken out, and like if we're believing God for finances, we don't have to chicken out and go and borrow off someone, because God said he's going to meet that need. He will come through. God wants you to trust him to the very end, just like Jesus Christ did. He knew the joy that was set before him. He trusted God's word, and he's our example that we follow. In verse 3 it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." See, the truth doesn't need to just be in you. We need to walk in that truth. It's the truth that sets you free of who you are and what you are now. We need to see ourselves as the sons of God, that how God sees us. He sees us like he sees his son. And then at verse 4 it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." We need to walk in the truth of, and the light of who we are. We're righteous, so we need to live righteously, as well as knowing that we're righteous. Righteousness means we have right standing before God. It doesn't give us a license to live our lives the way we want. In fact, we're blood bought. Jesus Christ shed his blood, and we've been purchased by that blood. And God wants a commitment from us to live unto him. Now, we got the free will choice, but why would we blow it on living a substandard life when we can truly give our all to God, because he gave his all to us through his son? He gave us everything. He really wants a relationship with you. He really wants you to go to him. And when our hearts are turned to God and filled with his truth, we are going to prosper in every area. We're going to be in health, because our hearts and minds are prospering with God's wisdom. He's the one that supplies us the wisdom. And the reason why we fill our hearts with God's wisdom is so we can live it out. When we forsake our own ways, we can really begin to see the benefits of trusting and looking to God at all times and walking in his wisdom. Let's have a look at Psalms. Psalms is a great book to look at. because you see a relationship going on, you see the struggles, you see the prayers, you see the deliverance. And so that's why I like reading these Old Testament records. In Psalms 86 verse 11 it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." Look at the heart. "I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear or reverence thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with a little bit of my heart."
No.
No, with all my heart. "And I will glorify thy name forever." We've been called to bring glory to him. "For great is thy mercy toward me." This is the reason why. "Because great is thy mercy towards me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them." Listen, these guys will not prevail. People like this in the world today will not prevail over you, because they are not setting their eyes on God, but we are. And God's for you. He's got your back in every situation. Verse 15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of" what? "Compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." See, it's the truth that sets us free. And God is plenteous in mercy and truth. He's gracious. He's compassionate. This is our Heavenly Father. This is his heart for his children, for people. He so loved the world that he gave. See, he loves the sinner. We were sinners, right? He loved us before we were born again. He sent his son so we could come into the family. He's invited us into the body of Christ to have a relationship with him. That record I just read is so brilliant. You know, the psalmist asked God to teach him his ways. But do you know what he does? Then he commits himself to God by declaring, "I will walk in truth." If you're asking God for anything, make a commitment to him. Then he asks God to unite his heart to respect his name. He further commits himself to praise God with all his heart and glorify his name forevermore. The reason is because of God's great mercy towards him, and that God had delivered him from the lowest hell. He acknowledges the proud have risen against him, and the violent man has sought after his life. And he also recognized that these people didn't set God before him. But he knew God was his refuge and strength. He knew God is full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. He turned his heart to God in his trouble. And this is what God wants you and me to do, to turn to him for our deliverance, for our needs, for our trust, and commit our ways to him. God wants you to commit your ways to him, to make up your mind that this is how you're going to live your life before God on a daily basis. And he wants a relationship with you. Let's go to Psalms 51. It's only a few scripts I want to look at. Psalms 51 verse 6 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom." See, when we got his truth in our heart, he will give us his wisdom so that we can speak it, we can act and live it and follow his direction. But it needs to be in your heart. You need to declare the word out of your mouth for it to get in your heart. The word is in your mouth, then in your heart. And then you declare it, then you live it. We need to play it. We need to live this thing out. It needs to be done honestly and before God in truth. We adapt our life to follow the Master and to follow, you know, what God wants us to do, so then we can be fully productive and fruitful. You know, when we remain in the vine, when we stay tapped to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stay tapped to God, we will produce fruit. But God wants us to be fully focused. He wants us to be committed. He wants us to be full out for him like he was full out for us. And he proved that through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived his life out for the Father. He knew his beginning and his end. And we do too. Okay, we know that God is going to send his son back to gather us together. Time is short. Today is the day of salvation. Today is we live and move and have our being. See, when we truly forsake our own ways and turn our hearts to the living God, and when we fill our hearts with His truth, then God's going to impart His wisdom to us. We need God's wisdom in this day and time. The application of the truth. We need to know how to apply it. We need to know how to act and talk and conduct ourselves in certain situations. So seeing that we've received forgiveness of sin, and we've been healed, we've been delivered from the powers of darkness, our true response is to really live unto God and not unto ourselves. We've come from darkness to light, and we are complete in Him. In fact, we're completely complete with Him, in Him. We're clothed in righteousness, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. See, God has put His Spirit within you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the love of God and the compassion of God living within you. And when we decide to live unto God, then our desire will be to reach out to those that are sat in darkness, where we once were. And our desire will be to do what God wants us to do. When we focus on this world, it brings our faith down. When we focus on our problems, it brings our faith down. So we have a choice every day to either focus our attention on our problem and the things of this world, or we can decide to walk in the new man. So let's just remind ourselves of some of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like you to go there, please. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17, we're going to read through to 21. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are in Christ. We're already in there. Okay? He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're already new inside. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, of reconciling others back to God. See, our job is not to connect people to our ministry, but is to connect God to connect people to God. That's what Jesus Christ done. He connected them to go directly to God. And we are to do the same thing. See, to know that God was in Christ, verse 19, God was working within Christ, and Christ was responding. His life was lined up with that. Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen, if God is not counting people's wrongs, then we shouldn't do. Not to one another, in the body, or without the body. God is not counting their trespasses unto them. He wants their faith. He wants them to believe in His Son, so that they can receive the Spirit of God. But we need to declare it. We need to preach that word. We need to declare it, not just in the fellowships, but we need to be out there. When we're out there and God opens those doors, we need to speak boldly. When God puts those people in front of us, He will give you what you need to say. And that's what He's done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Right now, we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ, said, be reconciled to who? Your ministry? No, we're to be reconciled to God. He's to be first. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. And carry on into 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says there, we then, as workers together with Him, okay, we're workers together with God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, empty. In other words, to receive the grace of God in vain is not to walk in our ministry of reconciliation, is not to use our ministry to reconcile with the words that God gives us. He's given us the word of reconciliation. For He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, today, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man. So we're to put on the mind of Christ. This is our part. We're to think God's thought. We're to set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. So we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we're to be sold out, 100%, not 99.5%. It doesn't cut the ice. If we want to be fruitful, productive, and bring glory to God, it's 100% sell out. Colossians 3:10. We're going to read. I'm just going to read you a few more scriptures. This is just a reminder, encouragement, and exhortation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man in your thinking." Now we can think God's thoughts. We can have that mind of Christ activated by purposely thinking them, not thinking the other things, right? Which is renewed in the what? In the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And if you jump down to verses 16 and 17, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, what do you do? Could you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is just a challenge, just a reminder, just to refresh us of who we are and what our part is. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." See, it's to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore," Paul was saying, "the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy," to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, "with all lowliness." So he's shown us how we should walk, with the heart we should walk, with the mindset we should walk. Our mindset should be the mindset of Christ. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace," putting forth a diligent effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The unity's there, guys. We just got to endeavour. We just need to walk as sons of God and to keep what God has already made available to us. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Let's imitate God. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." What beautiful records. See, God has even provided and given us guidelines that this will help us. If we do these things, we're going to profit and it's going to be beneficial to us and the people around us. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation or your conduct or your behaviour be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." See, it's one heart, one mind, because there's one Lord, one baptism. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you," in other words, Paul saying, "we lovingly implore you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." As we begin to walk and conduct our lives before God, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk, then we're going to abound more and more. And we're going to see great outreach, great increase. We're going to bring glory to God. The needs in the body will be met. People will be coming from darkness to light. But we got to walk as we've been called. In 1 John, we're going to finish off in our 1 John chapter 2. I want to go here first, and verse 5 and 6 it says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Isn't that beautiful? Hereby know that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. There you go. Jesus Christ is our example. We're to walk as he walked. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he is walked. In other words, it's available to walk like Jesus Christ. We can do it. We can do the same works that he done and greater. But it takes a love relationship with God, and it takes, you know, a thankful heart, recognizing what God has really done for us, that we really are delivered, that we're going to be there when Christ comes and gathers the church. We can have full confidence in this, just like Jesus Christ had full confidence that God was going to raise him from the dead. And I just want to finish off in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light, so that we can have genuine full fellowship with one another. And truly our fellowship is with God and with Jesus Christ. We can have that wonderful fellowship, and you know, we can walk in love, we can overcome challenges, situations, disagreements. This is the heart of God, but we need to have the mind of Christ on. When our mind is carnal, then we raise in hell with one another, and we'll be looking for excuses. But God, by his mercy and grace, he's merciful and gracious, he's compassionate, and he has given us everything that we need so that we can walk and bring glory to him. So that's what I wanted to share.